Good morning. We're just sharing some truth from the Word of God this morning, trying to encourage people to faith in God. As a pastor, a lot of times I see young people today never giving a thought about God, even adults that never take time to peruse the Bible, see what it says, or begin to think about God. And maybe you'd wonder today, why should I believe in God, or what makes Christianity different from another religion? The primary thing is the Word of God, that God's given to us. What you may not know about the Bible, it's not one book. It's 66 books written by 44 human authors over 1,500 years. And it all agrees. It's one message given to us by God through man. And so there's some precious things in the Word of God. One of the most precious is the prophecy that God gave to us, where He said ahead of time what would happen before it ever happened. Last night I had the joy of sharing with my church one of those prophecies. It's in Psalm chapter 22. You might know the shepherd psalm, Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's a great psalm. A lot of people use it at a funeral or things like that. You might have even heard it when the queen was lying in state. They did read it at St. Giles, Psalm 23. Written by the same author, King David, is Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a great prophecy, a messianic prophecy, speaking about the Christ that will come as the Savior of the world. There in that psalm, it begins with the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you've read the story of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, you read those words on the cross, Jesus Christ said those things. But understand this, when you're reading Psalm 22 again, it's 1,000 years before the event, 1,000 B.C., and so God is going to detail it in that text, what would happen on the cross to the Lord Jesus Christ, but again, 1,000 years before. And so it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent. There on the cross, Jesus could cry out to God, but God didn't hear him on the cross because Jesus Christ was suffering for our sins. And just like a sinner in hell, God is not going to hear them in hell. There's no hope in hell. The Bible says that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. We don't get a do-over when it comes to life. We get this life to seek God and to find God. After we die, it's too late to seek God at that point. Jesus Christ on the cross, suffering for us, suffered like he was in hell. As there on the cross, he was God forsaken. As he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it says he cried in the daytime and he cried in the night. Well, there on the cross, if you read the story, there was an eclipse that took place while Jesus Christ was on the cross. As God the Father turned his back on God the Son and the sin of the world was put upon Jesus Christ, there was darkness over the land. The Bible says for 3 hours. It spoke about that here in our text 1,000 years before the cross. It goes on to say, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people." If you read about the crucifixion of Christ, you read about a man that was despised. He was hated, he was mocked. They stood around that cross. They said, "If you are who you say you are, come down from that cross and we'll believe in you. He that said that you destroyed the temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days. Save thyself," is what they said as they mocked him there on the cross, just like the Bible said 1,000 years before. "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." All right, again, on the cross, that's what took place. But what I'm reading is 1,000 years before the cross. It goes on to say, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." You might say, "Ben, what's that about?" Well, that's about the virgin birth. That's about the fact that Jesus Christ had an earthly mother, but not an earthly father. Jesus Christ was put into the womb of Mary by God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ had God as his Father. Why? Because he is God. The Son of God is God. You might have a question about that. There's a lot of religions today that teach Jesus was a good man, teach Jesus is a prophet. But the Bible says that he was not just a good man and a prophet, but that he was God. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ forgave sin. Only God can forgive sin. The Bible says about Jesus that they worshiped him. When Jesus healed somebody, they would worship him. when he arose from the dead, and he ascended up into glory, the apostles worshiped him. Hebrews says that the angels are to worship God. And in Revelation, as you read about Jesus Christ in glory, he is worshiped. He's not just worshipped, and he doesn't just forgive sin, but he's the Creator. The Bible says about Jesus, without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Creator, designer of God. In fact, in Colossians, he speaks about all principalities and powers. All of that was created by Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God, came, who was virgin born. But going back to that text, again, written 1,000 years before the cross, it goes on to say, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion." It's speaking about the difficulty of the cross, the fact that he was God forsaken on the cross, and there the wrath of man was against him. There was nobody to deliver him. And it's just like this. Somebody in hell has nobody to deliver them. Somebody in hell has nobody to help them. They are God forsaken in that place. And again, on the cross, as we look at the crucifixion of Christ, he was suffering hell for us there, God forsaken, and the punishment for our sin was upon him. It goes on to say, "But I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melting in the midst of my bowels." Again, the Bible says that 1,000 years before it took place, what would take place? And that is this: a spear would pierce the heart sack of the Lord Jesus Christ, and eyewitness accounts testify that water and blood flowed out. But the Word of God said this 1,000 years before it took place, again, because God is God and God revealed it. It goes on to say in that text, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death." You might remember some words on the cross that Jesus said. He cried out on the cross. He said, "I thirst. I thirst." You know, in hell, somebody will cry out those very same words, "I am thirsty." We have a story in the Bible about a rich man that was cast into hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. Send Lazarus, a beggar, a man that was had sores, that was laid at the gate of that rich man, that beggar in heaven, that rich man in hell. That rich man in hell said, send Lazarus with a drip of water on his finger, that he may touch my tongue with that drip, for I am tormented in this flame." Somebody in hell is going to cry out like the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and say, "I thirst. I thirst." Goes on to say in that text, "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Again, somebody could say, "Well, Ben, when was that was written?" That was written 1,000 years before the cross, testifying that Jesus Christ would die by crucifixion. They took nails, they pierced the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. They took a nail, they pierced the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. They lifted up that cross up over that hole. They dropped it down into that hole. Jesus Christ was crucified for us. But the Bible said that would be. Why would that be? Because of our sin. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ died not because he was a bad man, not because he was a wicked man, but because of our sin that violates the law of God, the sin that has to be paid for. Again, there's a lot of religions that think, I'm a pretty good person, God will certainly accept me. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says it's not just physical death, but it's eternity in a lake of fire. And that's why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sin. He came to pay the price of our hell so that God judicially could look at us and say, "Because my son paid for your sin, I will forgive you. I will forgive you." But not everybody's forgiven. We have to come to the point in our life where we look up and we say, "Man, I don't understand why God loved me so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And I certainly am a sinner, and I violated God's holy law, and that sin is punishable by death, not just physical death, but eternity in a lake of fire. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, loved me. He died for me. He paid the price for my sin. He didn't stay in the grave, but he rose from the dead." And come to the point where we get on our knees before God and say, "God, I don't understand why your son, Jesus Christ, loved me so much that he paid the price for my sin. But God, I accept that. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And at that point, when we put our faith in God, the Bible says this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. thou shalt be saved. It says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Friends, has there ever been a point in your life where you've cried out to God and said, God, I need your son, I need Jesus, I need to get saved? You know, there's plenty of people today going through life, the burden of our life. We've got an economic crisis. We've got social crises. We've got warfare. We've got disease and other things that have hurt us in the last several years. A lot of people are hurting. A lot of people are burdened by that. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. I would encourage you, listen, turn to God. There is hope in God. There's hope in Jesus. We go back to that shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I'm never going to be in need. God's always going to meet my needs if the Lord is my shepherd. So the question would be today, is the Lord your shepherd? Has there been a time when you personally put your faith in Jesus Christ, where you bowed the knee and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? God loves you today. It's our prayer that there would be something in your heart that would resonate and say, you know what, I need that. That would pick up a Bible and begin to look into that Bible and say, I'm going to seek after God and I'm going to find God. I'm going to stop caring what my mates think, what the world thinks. They, you know, they laugh at Christians, they make fun of Christians. Anybody that will step up and say, I believe in God, I believe in creation, I believe what the Bible says about sin, I believe what the Bible says about truth, that person is liable to be laughed at or something like that. But I say to you today, it's far worth it to be laughed at rather than to go to hell in our sin. Better yet, it'd be better to identify with the Lord that loved you so much that he died as a thief on a cross, naked and shamed by men. We ought to step up with that Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of God's love for me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that it gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt today that it's not God's desire for anybody to go to hell, no matter how much they have transgressed against God. They might have blasphemed God, they might have mocked God, they might have cursed God, but God does not want them to go to hell. You might say to me, Ben, how do you know? I know that today because the Son of God died for them. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's not God's desire today to be mean to somebody and to make them feel bad. The only reason that God would desire you today to feel bad about your sin is to acknowledge what it is in the sight of a holy God, that it's defiling, that it has hurt your relationship between you and God, and that if you don't deal with that, you cannot come into fellowship with God. The Bible says that our iniquities separate us from God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God would desire to take care of that today. How does he do that? Well, he does that through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. It's only what Jesus Christ did as he died on the cross for us that makes it possible for us to be forgiven. But God says this to us today. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You might have great sin stains in your life today. They're not good for you. They're the very thing that would take you to hell. And God desires to take it away through the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that was crucified for you. God would just say to us today, hey, come on, let's think about it. Let's stop and let's think about it. Let's deal with that sin, get that sin taken care of through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have a right relationship with God, so that you can have the peace that the Bible speaks about. Jesus said to those that follow him, he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. God's desire today is that everybody have that confidence. Listen, You know for sure if you die today that you go to heaven. You know for sure that if you die today, you would enter into eternity with God. Because without that knowledge, the Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. God desires you today to have that knowledge, to have that peace in your heart, that confidence that your sins are forgiven. I'll tell you this, sin is a burden. You may say, I know it's not then. It's not a burden. Well, tell me this. Why is it that your heart is so heavy with guilt and you feel badly even though you're doing things that you're justifying? You say, I feel like it's okay. I think it's okay. My mates say it's okay. Why do I feel so guilty about that sexual sin? Why do I feel so guilty about that addictive habit, that drug, that drink, that cigarette, all those things that are destroying my life? And I'm throwing money into those things and I'm wasting my livelihood and I'm wasting my life and I'm wasting my health. You know, if sin is so good, then why does it taste so bad? The truth is today that sin is destroying. You want to identify the thing that's hurting your marriage? You want to identify the thing that's hurting your life? You want to identify what's keeping you from living life to the fullness? It's the sin that God desires to set you free from. But praise God, God's power is not just today to take away our sin, the punishment for our sin, but he could take away the sin itself, that by the grace of God, the Bible says if somebody will get saved, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God desires to create you anew. God desires you to give you a new life. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, but it also says in the scripture that he has come that they might have life more abundantly. The Christian life is an abundant life. Somebody could say to me, Ben, I'm an evolutionist, and you're a Christian. How does my life differ from yours? Well, I'll tell you this. As a Christian, my wife and I are faithful to one another. We didn't mess around before we got married. We have been in a committed relationship for 22 years. God bless us with kids. We don't have profanity in our home. We don't take God's name in vain in our home. We don't have wicked music. We can tell you in our home. We've got a home filled with love. We've got a home filled with peace. We've got a strong marriage. If I die and there is no God, I have lived a good life. It has been great. And I would say this, I thank God for it even if there is no God. But somebody that's an evolutionist, and they live their life, and they've got their things, and they've got the sin that they justified, and they've done these things, and they might have a good life, but if they die and they're wrong, listen, they'll spend eternity in a lake of fire away from God. That's the difference. And you might say to me, well, Ben, how certain are you that there is a God? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a God that loves me, that sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. If you came up to me today and said, Ben, do you know for sure if you go to heaven when you die? I'd say to you, yes. And it's not because I'm a minister. And it's not because of the things that I just spoke about where I said, you know, we've got a good family, we've got good things and these sorts of things. It's because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sin. That as a child, I went down to my dad's study, and I said, Dad, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. My dad had just preached a message on hell, that it's a fire, that it's eternal, that separation from God, that there it is hopeless. There's no second chance when somebody goes to hell that they could be set free from hell. But I said to my dad, Dad, I'd like to get saved. My dad showed me I was a sinner. The punishment for my sin was hell, that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sin. And as a young man, I bowed my head and I said, Dear God, I don't deserve it, but your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sin. Will you please forgive me of my sin and save me? And I'll tell you this, as a child, I knew for sure that I had received Jesus Christ as my Savior. He that the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen, you have life today. You might have what you think is life, but it's not life. It's not something that's going to last for eternity. I'll tell you this, drugs aren't worth going to hell. Drink isn't worth going to hell. Ungodly sex is not worthy of going to hell. Immorality is not worth going to hell. Profanity is not worth going to hell. Ungodly friends and that you care about and think about what they think about you, they're not worth going to hell for. It would be better today to pick up a Bible and say, look, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to look in the Word of God, see what it says in that holy book that God's given to us. People mock it. I'll tell you this, if the BBC could disprove it, they would, but they can't. Because it is the Word of God, they can mock it, they can say myths, legends, Chinese whispers, stories, but if you pick this book up, it all agrees 66 books, 44 human authors, written over 1,500 years. You couldn't do that. The printing press was designed to print Bibles. It's been translated into more languages than any other book. It's outsold every book every year. It is the very word of God. You'd be wise to say, listen, you know what? I think there's something to that. I think I'll pick that up and look at that. This book has been accepted as the book of all books, the Bible. Friend, have you ever read it? You might say, nobody could read it. Listen, I try to read it two times through each year. A lot of people read it. A lot of people pick it up and read it. Listen, it will change your life, dynamically change your life, not for the worse, but for the better. Listen, religion is not the answer. My heart's desire is I stand out here and I try to encourage people about God. My desire is not to get people to be religious, because religion does nothing. There's a lot of religious people today. There's a lot of people that go into a cathedral or go into a religious mosque or something like that, a building that they get in and they are religious, but religion of itself does nothing. What man needs is not a religion. They need a relationship. They need Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to give them that entrance into the very presence of God through His shed blood. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Satan doesn't want you to know that. Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the one that is creating all the chaos that we see in our world today that you might look at and say, man, why is there all this fighting? Why is there all this disagreement? Why is there all this stuff? It's because of the lies of the devil. You might say to me, Ben, how do I deal with his lies? Well, listen, pick up this book and see what it says. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Test that with evolutionary theory. Look at what evolution says. Evolution says, different kinds beget different kinds. Well, the Bible says they brought forth after their kind. That's consistent with science. Dogs have puppies. Cows have calves. Cats have kittens. That's science. That's what the Word of God says. Pick up the Bible, see what it says about sin. You hear a lot today about a sexual sin. It's big in the news. It's in the news all the time. Somebody comes out and says, I'm a big sexual sinner. Everyone pats him on the back and says, hey, that's great. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God created them male and female, that He took Adam and He brought Eve to Adam as a mate, that mate was a life mate, that formed the family unit. Test what the world says about marriage with the Word of God and says, what does God say? What does God say about life? The Bible says about life that it begins at conception. Our world wants to say it begins at birth, because they want to terminate the life of the child in the womb. But the Bible says about Jeremiah the prophet, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. The Bible says about our creation, David said this, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. It says this, the blueprints for my life was there before I was even developed in the womb. God put all that genetic information into my life, my eye color, my sex, my height, my hair, or my loss of hair, or whatever there is about me. It was all there in God's plan ahead of time. If you want to deal with lies, deal with them with God's Word. Thy Word is true. Every single word of God is true. It's unchanging. God has not edited His book. You know, there's plenty of religions today that step out and say, let's tear this page out of God's book. Let's tear this page out of God's book. Listen, God's book does not change because politicians say it has to change. God's book does not change because educators say it's got to change. When somebody stands before God at the judgment, the politicians and the educators are not going to step up and give a legal defense against them, against the Holy God. God will judge them by this book. Friend, today, you know, if you were to stand before God, if you could stand in that judgment. Very sadly today, again, there's numbers of people that think, you know, even if I don't believe in God, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. Nobody goes to heaven by accident. The only place somebody can go without ever seeking after God is eternity away from God in a lake of fire. The only hope for us is that we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Have you been saved? As the song says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that taketh away sin. And there is no other way given to us as men that we can be saved or justified and made righteous in the eyes of a holy God. It's only through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Friend, have you ever gotten to that point in your heart where you looked up at God and said, God, I don't understand why you love me so much that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sin. But I accept Him as my Savior. Have you been born again? John chapter 3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he will in no case enter into the kingdom of God. It's only by faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that anybody could be born again. We need the Savior today. Do you have the Savior? Father, I pray for these that have heard the Word of God today. May the Spirit of God speak to their heart. Give them grace to just pick up a Bible and begin to seek after God, to be unafraid to look at your book and to confront the things that are in their life that are contrary to your Word and to deal with them with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray you for your love. Thank you for your great love. God, may your voice be heard today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.